In recent weeks, I preached about things like worshiping Jesus, setting an example, being an example, serving the Lord, getting real about sin. And so last week when I preached about us getting real, I talked about this battle that we're in, this battle against sin, and how the enemy's goal is to see us fail, to give up, to give in, right? And so today I kind of want to look at like a battle plan, a strategy for this battle against sin. And I'll be honest with you guys, there's times where I know what I'm preaching for weeks and weeks, and there's times where I barely know what I'm preaching that day. I always have something prepared, but as I sat down to prepare this, I just kept drawing a blank. And when finally on Friday morning, when I was like, okay, Lord, you really got to give me something here because I'm starting to get a little nervous. And I've not been as excited about a message as this in a long time because I believe there's truth in this message. It's, I know that it set me free, and I believe that it's going to do the same for some of you. So hopefully you're open to receive that today, a word from the Lord. And so we've got to know that in this life right now that we have a real enemy. Okay, right? We have a real enemy right now. And I'm not specifically talking about things like terrorists. I'm not talking about our government. I'm not talking about other countries' militaries, fans of your rival sports team. Okay, I'm not talking about whoever your nemesis is in business, you know, if you have a competing business. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about we have a real enemy right now in this world that we deal with. Satan is a real enemy, and he's the kind of enemy that he wants to destroy you no matter the cost. You realize that? It doesn't matter what the cost is, he wants to destroy you. Now, Satan does not care about casualties of war. Satan does not care about innocent lives. Satan does not care about collateral damage. What he cares about is deceiving people so that he can take as many people with him to where he knows his destiny is, hell. Okay? This is what his plan is. It's to deceive people, to bring them with him, and he will do it at all cost. This is why it's so important for us to know that we have an enemy, okay? Because he will stop at nothing to obtain whatever he can. And so the thing is, we have to realize that Satan is not all-powerful. We have a very powerful, a very real enemy, but he's not all-powerful. We give him a lot of power. We give him a lot of territory, a lot of room to move. But he has power, but it's limited. Now, God, on the other hand, is all-powerful. So I kind of look at it like this. Satan has power, but God is power. Unlimited power. So Satan has power, God is power, and power with no limits. And so why, as Christians, do we sometimes see the power of the enemy as this big, undefeatable giant? Right? We do. I've been there and done that. Sometimes we see the enemy in our lives and we see it as a big giant that cannot be beaten. We look at Satan kind of like Saul's army looked at Goliath, right? We look at him like, that guy is huge and I have no chance, right? Me in comparison to him, look at what he's doing, and I haven't been able to fight him off so far and I have no chance. Everyone else I've seen go against him has gotten killed. I got no chance. That's the way that we tend to look at the enemy, but we need to look at the enemy the way that David looked at Goliath, right? We need to look at him, and David, this is all David knew, was that I have God on my side. That's all, I mean, David was like, he was little. He was a kid. You read about, he put on Saul's armor, and it was like, Saul's like, I don't even think you can walk out there in that. It weighs too much for you. But he knew that he had God on his side, so he knew that he had a chance. He's thinking, man, all things are possible. I have God on my side. This unbeatable giant, he's very beatable. Not because I'm anything, but because God is awesome. God is great. So when we realize that we do in fact have an enemy, one who's looking to destroy us, we have to remember that, okay? There's a lot of times where you don't see the enemy, okay? You don't see him working in your life. Okay, if you have a physical manifestation of the devil in front of you, I mean, get here quick and call somebody else. No, but call me and I will be calling somebody else to come help me pray. But we don't always see the enemy in front of us. So therefore, out of sight, out of mind, right? You don't think about it like, well, it's just bad luck or, you know, whatever. We have to realize that even though we don't see a physical enemy, that he's there, he's sneaky, he's deceitful. And so if we are in the military, right? Say you're in the military and you go out to war. No one has to tell you that you have a real enemy that's looking to destroy you, right? They're right there in front of you. You can see them. You can hear gunshots, explosions, missiles. You see people around you getting hurt, possibly even losing their lives. When you're really at war, in physical war on this earth, you don't have anybody, nobody has the need to tell you you have an enemy, right? I mean, it's very, very evident. And so as Christians in spiritual warfare, a lot of times we lose this focus on the enemy because we make this one mistake. We lose sight of the enemy. We lose sight of him. We forget that he's really there. Sometimes we forget that we have an enemy at all. So that's what I want to look at today is, what do we do about that? How do we be ready? How are we ready to fight? And so I'm going to pray to open this up as I start reading the scriptures. But if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive, that it's powerful, that it has the power to change our lives. And we pray right now as we read it, that you would use it, Lord, to change our lives, that you would use it, that you would show us in your word how we can fight this battle plan. Show us in your word how we can apply it to our lives so that we can be victorious over our enemy, so that we can be ready to fight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Okay, that right there tells you, you got a real enemy. He's looking to see who he can devour. But look at how Peter tells us to start off. Be sober and vigilant. What this means is we're to be calm, we're to be collective, but we're to be actively and cautiously watching. Actively and cautiously watching. Again, consider a soldier in war. They must be able to control themselves and they must be actively watching, right? They have to be able to control themselves. They have to be actively watching. They can't afford to be carefree, right? They have to be careful. And we're the same. We have to be careful. And so the same in spiritual warfare. You can't be carefree with this mindset that everything will work out. Just see how it goes. God works all things for my good. Like, I don't have to do anything. Everything will work out fine. I've been washed in the blood. Means nothing can happen to me. That's wrong, okay? You're protected, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to watch, that you don't have to be alert. Because if a soldier does this at war, what happens? It costs him his life. The enemy will come up on him, will overtake him, overpower him, and it will cost his life. And if you are not carefully watching and anticipating the approach of Satan, guess what? It will cost you your life. He will sneak up on you. He'll approach you. You'll have no idea what's happening, and he'll overtake you. Because Satan knows that he's already been defeated at the cross, right? He knows that his time is short, and so he will do anything he can to defeat us. That's why he's walking around seeking who he can devour, right? How many of you look at devour as that's kind of a nice word? No, he's going to devour like a lion does, right? Devour. So we're to be watchful, alert, and on guard so we see this coming. And Peter goes on to say in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be watchful. But that's only the first step. That's only the first step. You have to be watchful when you're ready to fight. But then when the enemy approaches, because he will approach, what? Resist. You have to resist. You have to be ready to fight. We have to set ourselves against the enemy. It doesn't matter if you see him coming if you're not going to oppose him, right? Does it matter if you see somebody coming if you're not going to oppose them? Not really. I mean, I guess if you're going to hightail it and run, but you can only run so far. But there's many believers out there who believe this. They believe that I can just be watchful. I can just see Satan and kind of guard myself. And, you know, sometimes we want to be ready to run or to avoid him. Or some people just roll over and give up. You don't do that in a war. You don't do that in a war. You resist the advancing of the enemy. You don't give up ground in a war. Ephesians 4:27, Paul tells us not to give any place to the devil. You don't let the devil have anything. You resist. How do you let someone have territory? You give up. You give it to them or they defeat you. You resist. And Peter tells us back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he says, you do this by standing strong in your faith. We have to continue to live by the truth of God's word because it's truth. Satan's a liar, and how do you defeat lies? With truth. You defeat lies with truth. And James tells us in chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't mean watch. Just watch and you'll be protected. Watch and nothing will happen. It says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You submit to God. That's coming under God's truths. That's coming under the truths of the word of God. And then resist the devil. And then he will flee from you. We so often want to just be like, I'm a Christian, the devil has to flee. No, you have to resist him. There has to be resistance. See, to combat the enemy, we have to be watchful, but we also need to use weapons. You have to use weapons. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God. He talks about the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, all that to combat the enemy. That's what we use to stand against the enemy. So again, if we're in the military, if you're on the front lines on foreign soil and your commander says, here you go, here, Ben, here's a helmet, here's some bulletproof vest, and here's a gun. Now you're good to go. You don't have to do anything. You just stand there with your armor on and just watch. Just watch for the enemy to come. I mean, you'd be like, what? I don't need to use my weapons? Like, how am I supposed to be protected? Well, you have everything on. You should be good to go. That's how we view things. You wouldn't do that, not for a minute. You wouldn't believe that. You'd be like, this guy's insane. There's no way I can just stand here and all this and I'm just not going to be harmed. Like, they're just going to be afraid because of what I'm holding and run. I mean, maybe if they had a knife and you had a bazooka, but most likely they're not just going to be afraid of what you're holding. Of what you have, you're going to have to resist. You would say, no way. But why do we do this in spiritual warfare that we're in every day? We say stuff like, well, I'm submitted to Jesus and he's victorious, so I'm victorious. I believe in his word, so I'm an overcomer. Yes, absolutely you are. I do believe that. But you still have to resist the enemy. You still have to resist. Guess what? Satan does not care what your faith is on a scale of 1 to 10. He doesn't care. He doesn't care how much you pray. He doesn't care if you have faith. He doesn't care if you know the word of God. He doesn't care about any of that. He's going to attack you. And guess what? If you don't resist, it doesn't matter what weapons you have. It doesn't matter what armor you have. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care. Faith is believing in things that we do not see in front of us. We have to come against the enemy with the truth of God's word, with prayer, and we have to stand strong in our faith. Faith is believing the word of God, denouncing the lies of Satan. And one of my first or my favorite verses is John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. That's what Jesus came for. The faith life is the abundant life. This is what Peter told us, how we overcome, how we resist is by standing, being steadfast in faith. The faith life is the abundant life, because the faith life is the life that resists the enemy, resists him. Now, one who ignores the enemy falls prey to the enemy. Okay, if you ignore the enemy, you fall prey to the enemy. But one that has faith is one that is ready to fight. And now listen, I understand that it really stinks to fight. I mean, it really gets old sometimes, right? Fighting this battle that we fight, this spiritual battle, sometimes it really gets old, especially knowing the truth. I mean, I know that Jesus has overcome, so it's really hard for me sometimes to fight. It really is. I mean, it's hard for me to fight knowing that he's overcome, and I know that his victory is my victory. And because of that, it can be really hard to understand sometimes why we go through some things, and especially when we see others who don't, right? Can anybody relate to that? Sometimes it can be really hard. Like, why do I have to go through this? But there really is good in all this. I'm going to show you right here. This is what was liberating to me coming up. But you know this verse up here, Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We all know that verse, right? You're probably thinking, yeah, I know that verse. That doesn't really help me. I know it doesn't help me at all. And we may think, I don't ever see that happen in my life. Or I don't see it happen very often. Well, we're going to look right now and we're going to see where that happens when we fight against the enemy, when we resist. We're going to see God working all things together for our good when we're in this spiritual battle, even when we don't see it. And it's right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. It says, "But may the grace of all God, who has called us according to his, or called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Now, this can be a little tricky, so I asked them to leave this up here for a second. It's kind of the way it's broken up, it can be tricky. But God is going to do something in your life. But you see, it says, after you have suffered a while. Right there in the line two, the right side. After you have suffered a while. Now, on the surface, that does seem a little bit harsh, a little bit mean, right? Like, thanks, God. Thanks for letting me suffer for a little while. And some of you are wondering right now, like, when is the suffering going to end? Right? Somebody can totally relate to that. Like, okay, when is this suffering going to end? But we got to focus on the other part of the verse. While a believer is being personally attacked by the enemy, at the very same time, he's being personally perfected by God. While you're being personally attacked by the enemy, you're being personally perfected by God. So while we're suffering, it says the God of all grace who has called us. That's the one that being called is being saved. The God who has saved us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That very same God is working in your life. Now, but why do we have to suffer? Well, it's because in this suffering, in this spiritual battle, this is when godly character is built, right? You are who you are partially due to what you've experienced, good and bad, right? What you go through in your life, it builds character. It shapes you. It molds you. And no, it doesn't always make sense, and it doesn't seem fair when someone else has a different path. But what we should be focusing on is God is working in my life. God is working in your life. And so God working in our life, Peter says, God will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When does he do this? He does this as we fight, as we resist the enemy. It's not even a reward for resisting the enemy. It's what he does while we resist the enemy. First, you have to be watchful. Then you have to submit to God's truths. Then resist the enemy. And while you do this, God is working to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Isn't that exciting? That's what God is doing in your life when you are fighting this battle and you're like, God, where are you? And he's like, I'm right here. Where are you? I'm right here. I'm perfecting you. I'm strengthening you, establishing you, settling you. And so how many of us have been trying to do God's job? Have we been trying to do the work of the Lord in our lives? How much time do we spend trying to perfect ourselves, trying to establish ourselves, trying to strengthen ourselves, trying to settle ourselves? That's God's job. Your job is to fight. Listen, you may not like it, but that's how it is. Your job is to fight against the enemy. God's job is to do those things in your life. And I want to look at those things, because as I studied what they were, I was like, man, this is ridiculous what God's doing in my life. Like, it's unbelievable. This is where we see a God of abundance, a God who wants to give us life and life more abundantly when we break down these words and see what he's doing. So first is to perfect. While we're fighting the enemy, God is perfecting us. And this means to repair or to mend what's broken. How many of you have been working to repair, mend what's broken in your life? Like, you've been doing it. No, that's God's job. Your job is to resist the enemy. Your job is to fight. His job is to mend and repair you. And this same word is used in Mark, the same root word in the Greek is used in Mark chapter 1, verse 19. So I wanted to show that so you can see. He says, when they had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. That word for mending and the word for perfect, it's the same word in the Greek. What God is doing in our hearts, in our lives, it's just like mending a net, repairing it. It's got a hole in it. It looks unrepairable. Someone may want to throw it out, think it's worthless. And God's like, I can fix that. I can repair that. And so as we fight the enemy, God's repairing us. We see the word perfecting and we're like, oh, God's making me perfect. He's repairing you. He's mending you, the brokenness. He's trying to fix what is broken. How many of you desire that? I sure do. God, fix what's broken in my life. And how often do we choose not to fight because instead we're trying to repair ourselves? We're trying to fix, I got to fix what's broken in me. No, that's God's job. Your job is to fight. Be ready to fight. Let God mend you and you continue to resist the enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but I would sure rather have God be mending me and fixing me than for me to do it myself, okay? If I had a car that I needed worked on, there's a few of you guys in this place that I'd have come over and help me work on it, because if I work on it myself, it's probably going to be in worse condition when I'm done than if I have somebody who's qualified and has the knowledge to work on a car, right? Okay, it's the same way. Why do we spend all this time trying to mend and repair ourselves when it's God's job? And he's going to do it way better than what you can do it. The second thing that it says, that Peter says, is God will establish you. And this one means to make stable, to strengthen. And this is specifically talking about one's mind. And that where this is used is in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. You're going to see the word set. And that word set is the same Greek word as establish. It says, now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, this is Jesus, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. As you fight off the enemy, God is establishing you. Sometimes it can be hard for us to continue to fight, but the Lord promises that he will strengthen your mind if you continue to do so. And consider Jesus right here in this scripture, what he was facing. This is Jesus. He's facing his future. And it's early in the account of Luke, but it says the time had come for him to be received up. Okay, so he sees that he's facing torture. He's facing being killed. He's facing all this difficulty. And he is in the flesh. And it hurts, just like it would hurt you and it would hurt me. And occasionally we get that a little bit messed up, okay? Because Jesus is so great and he is all powerful. I think sometimes we forget that as he walked this earth in the flesh as a man, the things that would hurt us hurt him. Okay, we would look at that and be like, there is no way that I could go through with what he went through with. I bet he thought the same thing. I bet he thought, there's no way I can do this. It's why he said, Father, please take this from me. You know, if it's your will, I'll do it, but please, if you can, take it. And so as he is looking towards his future, he's hurting, but the Father God strengthened his mind so he could continue to fight. He steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. He's like, you know what? I see what I've got coming, but it doesn't matter. The Father's working on settling, establishing my mind so that I can look past all of this and I can see the good on the other side and I can continue to fight. That's the same thing that the Father does in us. When we continue to fight, he will repair our mind. He will settle and establish our mind to where we're not full of doubt and worry if we continue to fight. The third thing that it says that he does is strengthen. And this is to make strong, specifically one's soul. And this word is actually, this is the only time in the New Testament that this word is used, this Greek word for strengthen. But what it means is to, as we fight the enemy and God strengthens us, this is talking about a spiritual strength. It's the Holy Spirit, spiritual strength coming upon us, being able to withstand, being able to combat the enemy. This is how we can actually do it. Okay? How many of you think sometimes it doesn't even matter how you feel mentally, just spiritually, like, I can't do it anymore. I'm giving up. I don't want to fight anymore. It's too hard. Guess what? God right now is strengthening you. Spiritually, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, come on, we can keep going. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm in control. You just keep going. You just keep following. That's what God's doing in our life whenever we're resisting the enemy. And the fourth thing that he says is settle, that I will settle you. And this is to lay the foundation. And this same word is used in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, the word that they use for grounded. And it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. It says, being grounded, being established, steadfast, as we fight off the enemy, God is settling us. This means he's laying a foundation. Laying a foundation. He's laying your foundation as you're fighting. What does this mean? He's laying my foundation. Remember last week I shared that many times people get saved and they get transformed by Jesus and then they forget where they came from? This is why it's important to remember right here. God is using these trials, these things that we're battling in our lives, to lay the foundation of your testimony. This is to lay the foundation of your testimony, the very same testimony which you will continue to build upon to bring glory to Jesus and to do what? To defeat the enemy. God's given us these four things that we need to defeat the enemy. It's just that we don't remember, or maybe we didn't know. while we're resisting and we're fighting the enemy, you know, it's like we're out in the battlefield and God's like sticking more bullets in the gun. He's sticking more water in the canteen, right? He's building up you spiritually to where you can continue to go along with this. He's strengthening your mind. So even though it's hard what you're doing and it's difficult, you can be steadfast on the goal, on the purpose. This is what God's doing in the background. He's doing all this as we continue to fight. This is why we're told to fight the good fight. It's a good fight. It's worth fighting. It's going to be worth it. Okay, we sing that all the time. It's going to be worth it. It absolutely is. We have to continue to fight. And when you feel like you're doing it alone and we're wondering where God is in our hurt and our pain, remember what he's doing. He's working to perfect you, to establish you, to strengthen you, to settle you. All of this. This isn't like, well, Katie, I'm going to do one of these for you. No, God's doing all four of those things for you right now. Whatever you're going through, if you're resisting the enemy, I guarantee you God is doing these things in your life. Why? Because it's in his word. It's truth. It doesn't matter if I believe it and I'm just telling you it. It's in the word of God. It's truth. He's doing it right now. He said that he will never leave you, and he won't. He will not. And God is doing a work. Think about this. He's doing a work that is so difficult to do that only the grace of God can accomplish it. That's how difficult it is. Only the grace of God can accomplish it. So why do we keep trying to accomplish these things in our lives? Only God can do them. He's the only one that has the power. This is why we're to faithfully seek him in prayer. It's why we're supposed to faithfully depend on his promises. When you fight against the enemy, you are doing a work that only you can do. You realize that? Like, we would like for God to fight the enemy on our behalf, right? He's already done it. He did. It is finished. He's already done it. It's what I talked about a few weeks ago with serving. He came not to be served, but to serve, and he did. He served you. He beat the enemy. He defeated him. And how he's sitting up in heaven interceding for us. Like, come on, guys. Finish him off. Get up here. But he did something that only he can do. But defeating the enemy, resisting the enemy in our lives is only something that we can do by his power, by his strength, right? All these things that he's working in us. But at this very same time that we're doing something only we can do, which is resist the enemy, God is doing something that only he can do. Strengthening, establishing, settling you, right? Perfecting you. He's doing these things that only he can do. So we have to fight. We have to fight. We have to do our part. And a soldier has no place on a battlefield if he has no intention to fight. Right? I mean, there's people in this room right now. You have family that are in the military, or some of you have even been in the military. You don't want somebody on the battlefield who's not willing to fight. It's like, dude, get out of here. You're gonna get us all killed if you're not willing to defend us. If you're not willing to fight, if you're not willing to stand for what you believe in, right? You've got to be able to fight. Even if you're not a violent person by nature, you still have to be willing to fight if you're in a battle. Because guess what? Even a person in the military who's not a violent person, they can be forced to fight out of necessity when they're attacked. You have to be ready. You have to be ready and willing to do it no matter what. And so we are in a war. We're in a spiritual war right now where the enemy attacks daily. Secondly. Is that a word, but I don't know if it's a word in that context. But yeah, every second the enemy is attacking. He's constantly looking. He's prowling around, roaring like a lion, seeing how he can devour us. And he's attacking daily, even if you're tired, even if you're timid, you are going to have to fight out of necessity to save your life. It's not optional, just as it's not for a soldier on the war field. It's not optional. You either fight or you die. That's it. We have to fight the enemy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us that we're soldiers. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Paul uses this metaphor of being a good soldier to describe the Christian life. If you're a Christian, then you are a good soldier, right? Because you're fighting a battle, you're fighting a good war, you're fighting for something you believe in. Each and every day, we're in this battle against an evil world that we live in. We're in this battle against sinful nature, which we've inherited. And we're in a battle against Satan himself. And so for us, just as a soldier called to duty is completely severed from civilian life, right? He has no ties back to the civilian life. A good soldier of Christ must refuse to let the things of the world distract him from fighting the enemy. We have to fight every day. We have to stay focused. If we get off track because, you know, we have so much stuff to do, well, guess what? Let's try doing that. How would our military be? If like, well, we all got so much stuff to do back at home that like we can't really focus on fighting this war right now. No, you have to be focused on the enemy or he's going to get you. All right? Be focused, be ready, and resist him. Resist the enemy. Jason, if you guys could come up. So we have a real enemy. And again, Ephesians 6 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We have a real enemy that's not the person sitting next to you. It's not whatever other person that you may think of. We have a real enemy in the devil. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we ready for battle? Like, are we ready to fight? Are we willing to fight? And are we willing to let God do his part? We don't have this time of idle sideline watching, okay? This isn't like we can just sit over here and watch and just let things go on. Satan right now and his army, this is what his purpose is. Scattering and destroying. That's what he does. He scatters and destroys. But what does Jesus do? The opposite. He gathers and builds. Jesus gathers and builds. Are we standing with Jesus? Are we involved in building the kingdom? In gathering the lost? Or are we too busy trying to fix ourselves that we don't fight? Too busy trying to fix ourselves and do God's job. Like, it's my job to fix myself. It's your job to defeat the enemy. No, you've got it backwards. It's your job to resist. It's God's job to fix and repair. We think about a fighter in the military. I'm sure they do this as well. But even someone who boxes, a fighter trains. They study their opponent. They anticipate their opponent's next move, their opponent's plan of attack. This is what somebody does when they're in a war. When we're fighting the enemy, we've got to train. We need to be praying. We need to be reading the word. We have to know our opponent. We have to know, hey, Satan is really out there, really looking to destroy me. Like, take it personal, because it is. Take it personal. He's looking to destroy you. You specifically. And we have to anticipate his next move. We have to anticipate his plan of attack. Listen, you know where you're weak. That's where he's coming. I can guarantee it. He's coming where you are weak. If you've never touched alcohol, a drop in your life, he's probably not going to put somebody in your path stopping at the door with, you know, a 12-pack. He knows where you're weak. He's going to attack where you are weak. If you can't help but gossip, somebody's going to tell you a big, fat, juicy secret. I mean, a big one, like a whopper that you can't wait to tell somebody. Guess what? Are you going to fight? Are you going to resist it? Because you knowing what the Word of God says and spending an hour in prayer every day isn't going to keep you from telling that secret unless you resist. Because there will be an urge. There will be a desire. So today I'm going to open the altars and Ben and I will be available and our wives will be available for prayer. And we just want to pray with you guys. We want to pray if you have an area in your life where you feel like I need prayer, I need help, I need the Lord to intervene. If you have, maybe you've been trying to fight this battle backwards, or you've been trying to mend and repair and fix yourself, and all the while you're ignoring the enemy while the enemy just keeps advancing on your territory. Maybe you have something completely unrelated. Maybe you don't even know the Lord and you need to be saved. If that's the case, we're here to pray with you. But we're going to open up the altars right now for prayer. You can come down and see one of us. If you want to seek the Lord on your own, you can go off to one of the sides as well. And for those who don't need prayer, pray for others and worship the Lord together.